Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast hangout. This is episode number 50, and this time I have here Cesar Rodas with a different haircut. Not. No, this case is harder sourcing that came in filling for Cesar for some reason. Cesar could not make it this time, but let's see if he can make it next month. But it's always great to have Artur back from the warm Latvia. Yeah. Hello, yeah. Artur.
Hello.
Is it really warm in Latvia or maybe not that much?
It was a little warm when we recorded GS Quasi podcast. Now it's totally cold. Well,
totally cold.
It's still summer, but well, it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, it's that fake summer that you get used to. Okay, well, anyway, it's good to have you here. You also develop in PHP when you can, and so I'm sure you can give your good insights to lots of topics that we have here to talk about. We are going to start precisely about one announcement regarding the latest release of PHP 5.3, which has reached now the planned end of life. A release that was planned with the last security fixes that were backported from newer versions 5.4 and 5.5, and so the last release is as secure as possible. They backported these fixes. So they mentioned here there were like 25 potential security related fixes backported from PHP 5.4 and 5.5. And so if you are using PHP 5.3 and you are not yet ready to upgrade to 5.4, probably because some backwards incompatible changes that affect your code, it is always a good idea to at least upgrade to this latest version. It was just released a few days ago. I usually recommend that you probably wait a few more days or a few more weeks, because we don't know yet if these fixes were probably cause any bugs. Maybe not, because this is already a stable release. There are no new features, and that's it. Artur, are you using PHP 5.3 or in any of your servers?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I think not on previous podcast, but one before, that I just recently, a couple of months, received an email that my server was upgraded
to PHP
5.3. But actually, to defend them, then when I checked out the settings internally, then you can switch to a higher PHP. It does the forced lower part, so you can go and you can't get lower than that.
So you are not in PHP 5.3 or?
It's what's used by default, but I already run into some scripts that required me to set up a higher PHP version for a specific folder because, well, they needed it, and that's how I found out that you actually can change it. Yeah, so basically, that's the lower bottom that server allows, and I think that it's probably for most servers right now. But since it's already end of life, then probably it will soon be switching. Soon, I mean a year or two.
Well, when you are on a shared server, you cannot ask for security because it's a lottery. If your hosting company decides that you deserve the latest version, that's fine. If they decide that you don't deserve the latest version, you have to deal with it. So, this is something that you should just be concerned about the versions that you have on your server, if you can control it. I noticed that most people try to install versions from packages already built for their distributions, I mean Linux distributions, mm-hmm. which means that sometimes if the distribution does not have ready that specific version, you are stuck. Personally, I download the source and compile it manually, so I can guarantee that I have the right version, but for some people it may be overwhelming because you need to know all the extensions that you need to know all the steps for compiling. Probably you need to install some libraries in your system if they are not available and PHP needs them, but well, at least it is possible to control the version, but I think in most cases people do not do that. They get with the version that is installed by their hosting company and pray they are not attacked with the latest security bugs. So, okay, now that this topic is covered, you know that if you are still in PHP 5.3, you better upgrade. And if not, good luck to you. Probably those security fixes are not that important and may not affect your sites anyway. So now we are going to move to another topic, which is precisely about something related, which is the what happens to PHP 5.4. So according to this topic that is being discussed, once PHP 5.3 reaches the end of life, the plan is to get PHP 5.4 only get new releases when there are security fixes. So there are no new features, no features being fixed unless there are security fixes. And this is still being debated. I don't know what they decided. Probably PHP 5.4 will enter in security fixed mode only when PHP 5.6 is released, which should happen in the next probably days, weeks, and should not be long because it is already in one of the release candidates. I think it is 4 by now, so it should happen soon. And that means that if you are using PHP 5.4 and you need some feature that should be fixed, that fix will not happen in PHP 5.4, and you probably need to consider upgrade to PHP 5.5 to eventually have a version that has those eventual bugs fixed, unless those bugs are security related. And given that, yes?
That probably won't happen much, that you have a 5.4 version and you are missing some feature or there are bugs in some feature. You probably already would upgrade to a higher version that has it, so.
Yeah. Well, usually people that are on the top of the wave, they live dangerously and they like to enjoy the latest and the greatest version of PHP, so they can enjoy the latest bugs with the greater fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking about the new version releases, there was a new 5.4.31 version. It was already in July, probably. A new one is about to happen in August. But at the time we are recording, I don't think it was released yet. And anyway, this is mostly the usual set of bug fixes. Nothing really new that I noticed. Anyway, if you are using 5.4, it's only interesting to consider upgrading if you are affected by any of these bugs. And the same goes for 5.5.15 in this case, because people will also benefit from the same set of bug fixes. Probably there are a few things that are different, that they are mostly the same. Probably some bugs that exist on 5.5 and not on 5.4. So, as usual, there is not much more to say about these version releases. That's basically it. So, we are going to move on with the next set of topics that we usually comment about things that happen in the PHP community. First, we're going to start to mention something that was discussed. The latest hangout, although there are other, the latest hangout was already published after this. First to mention about the PHP specification effort, which was sort of started by Sarah Goleman, which was a person that, a core developer that also works for Facebook. So this is she is leading this effort to bring a specification to PHP, and I have written this article to mention a bit about this this saga between the PHP core developers and Facebook. I'm talking about several episodes. First, Facebook announced the EPUB compiler several years ago. And this sort took the PHP world by storm, because it was a totally different thing that the PHP core developers were doing. It was, by then, it was a compiler that would turn PHP into C++, and then it would compile it into an executable code in the native machine language. Whatever is the CPU that is running on your machine. And then later they evolved it and introduced the HHVM engine. And after that, they introduced also the Facebook Hack language, which introduced several features that basically overcome limitations of PHP, not only in terms of performance, but several other things that we already commented in the past article. I'm not going to cover it again. Just to mention that that would be the second round of this saga. And the third round is the PHP specification. Well, what happens is that the PHP core developers do not really need a PHP specification, because if they are the ones that are defining the what the language should be with the usual RFC proposals, they having a formal specification is not so important for them. A specification is more important for those that are creating clones of the language or of their derivatives, like the Facebook Hackai language that implements PHP, but also those Hack languages construct that PHP does not have yet. So the idea of having a specification is that it sort of define how exactly the features of PHP should behave, so their implementation matches what the PHP version implemented by the core developers based on the Zend engine implements. So this is more to avoid that problem of, oh, the Facebook Hack language is not compatible with PHP. So this PHP specification is the last round of this story, which is to bring a sort of competition to the PHP core. Artus, have you been following these stories? What do you think about them?
Yeah, I am always one of those that would say that Facebook is good for PHP WordPress. Even recently, we need to develop a minimum viable product in 2 months till the Dublin Summit, and of course my first choice was to do it in PHP, and there were concerns of about the performance because the project is really heavy on database and file system, and well, the usual argument is, look at Facebook. They are doing it. They're doing it great, and everything works with all those users. So when we have more time or resources and we need them, we can adapt something from what Facebook does. So that's why I think the Facebook is really good for PHP. About the specification specifically, then that was an interesting move, interesting theme, because till now I thought that Facebook are mostly concentrated on improving their own product and in their labs, and they don't really care about what others think. They just open source it. If you want, use it. If not, we don't care. But the specification means that they want developers to really adapt the hack language and come over and progress from PHP. So that was an interesting news. I don't know why exactly they would want it, would need it, and why exactly they would waste resources on it, but it seems they have a plan to maybe evolve it even more further.
Yeah, well, I think that in general, Facebook realized that they could not hold their breath and wait for the PHP core developers to implement the features that will bring the necessary performance. And since Facebook has a lot of financial muscle, they can hire as many developers as needed to develop a faster PHP sooner. And that's what happened. Basically, Facebook hack, as I mentioned in another article, is all that PHP should have been, because it's not just matters of speed, but they also efficiency. For instance, they allow PHP to take greater advantage of synchronous tasks. So, for instance, if you are accessing a database, you can even do other tasks in parallel. Let's say if you want to render a page that has some templates, probably you need to prepare the templates. And while it is fetching the data from the database, you can prepare the templates. You may squeeze a few milliseconds there, but for Facebook in particular, because there are, I don't know how many, but probably many thousands of PHP servers running PHP, so if they can shave a few milliseconds here and there, they can cut the cost of installing more servers, so they can scale more with less money. So for them, it will make a big difference, even if it is not a big percentage. Maybe they can gain 10% of in the bill of the servers that they need to have ready. So if they can save that money, it's good for them. Yeah. And on the other hand, I do not think that they really would like to keep developing a new language, and which is basically a fork of PHP. They will not really like to do it themselves if the PHP core developers did it in first place. But since they were not moving as fast as they hoped, they moved ahead and did not hold their breath and waiting for the PHP core developers. And that is interesting because what we have seen happening is that there is a sort of reaction of PHP core developers, specifically from Zen, which is the developer of the PHP core engine, I mean, the part that executes the actual PHP code. I'm sure they want to continue to to remain relevant to the PHP world. So there is this reaction. So overall, it was positive to all these moves of Facebook. And but this also ties.
If Facebook is actually has so many resources and money resources, why wouldn't they just bribe the PHP core developers to develop what they want?
Probably because they are not bribable. I think PHP core developers don't want to remain independent. I cannot speak for them, but I can imagine that Facebook is a large company, and if they pick PHP and control its future, for some reason they decide to change their minds and switch to something else, PHP will be left behind. So it could not be a good idea to leave it in the hands of a large company. And I think there's nothing specifically against Facebook. The same could be applied if it was Google or Microsoft or Apple or whoever. I don't know, and I have no idea. But in this case, I think it is the Crispy Core developers, not only they want to remain relevant and in control of the language, they also do not want to rely on a company that we don't know in the future if they change their mind, the leaves PHP behind. I don't think that will happen. There will be no reason for Facebook to switch to a different language now that they invest so much in making the language much better.
Exactly.
So that could be just an hypothetical situation. Anyway, as I was mentioning, this ties to the next topic, which is about the debate of the name of the next major PHP version, which was finally decided to be PHP 7. And there was already a debate about what it will include. One of the things that was decided already is that it will be based on the PHP NG branch, which was started by Zen developers. And it is already proven to bring significant speed improvements, even without the JIT engine that was originally thought to be included. And it is not yet included, but certainly the plan is to include it. So apart from the performance improvements that they are planning for PHP 7 based on PHP NG branch, the intention is to also implement a JIT engine based on LLVM, and that will bring further speed improvement potential. We don't know yet how much that it will improve the PHP speed, but the expectation is great. So we have to wait and see, because there is some work to do apart from the backwards incompatible changes that were done internally on PHP engine. There is work to integrate that JIT engine, so we have to wait and see. Other than that, there's already a proposal for an abstract syntax tree, which is something that was discussed in a separate proposal by Nikita Popov, and this is basically a new intermediary step in the compilation process of PHP. So usually PHP source code is first tokenized. I mean, they take the keywords in your source code and convert them into codes, and then they pass it to a parser that will process the grammar of the language. So now they are introducing a new step, which it is called the abstract syntax tree generation, which will, just putting with their words, this will replace the existing practice of emitting of codes. So codes are those lower level codes that are sort of instructions that the Zend engine will interpret to translate into actions that the PHP code will execute, like calling functions, checking conditions, performing loops, and so on. So this step is probably, I don't know if this is relevant to many users. Most users will not see anything noticeable different. It's just a step that will allow to introduce some crazy features, like introducing new syntax possibilities. And what I know about this is still vague. I cannot tell you exactly about all the possibilities. I'm not an expert on this topic, but they mentioned this in this proposal. I don't know, Arthur, do you know anything about abstract syntax trees?
Yeah, well, basically, as you said, instead of compiling the code directly, they first build the tree of how the code is constructed, and then do the second run through, and then compile it. So they could even remove the branches that are never going to be reached and optimize the code in any other ways. And even if you see they're on the same page, impact on performance and memory usage, we can see that with the abstract syntax tree, the compilation is faster, but memory usage is greater because we need to store the tree. But as you also mentioned, lots of quirks and even maybe suggestions that were provided for syntax were not created because probably of this situation that the compiler passed through code once and compiled it, so it was harder to make some kind of expressions to execute them. So as you see, for example, that is shown a little above, that the complex syntax that you need to include the yielding function in the another parenthesis or something like that. I don't know. I haven't used them. Reading about them. And as I understood, the abstract syntax tree is actually like a state of the arts for the compilers. So probably it's a normal move to make for PHP.
I noticed the reactions of some developers that they are very interested in things like annotations, because annotations allow to extract some metadata. So they probably want to add some way to add annotations as a built-in feature of the language, rather than something that they need to parse some comments that are there with a specific syntax. I'd rather not comment much more on this because I'm not even sure if I'm being accurate. I have written an article on this. I try to summarize what it means, but I do not go into much details. What we can see in this proposal is that according to some benchmarks, there are some speed improvements when you use an AST, because there can be some additional optimizations. And also, as you mentioned, using AST will take more memory because it's something that will have to be built in memory in order to be processed. But it seems the potential to further optimizations is interesting enough. And from what I have seen, the developers that participated in the debate were very favorable to this. As a matter of fact, it was already voted. It is being voted at the time that we are recording. And so far, everybody approved it. So that's what it's going to be. This will be approved feature for PHP 7. As I also mentioned, there was a proposal to merge PHP and GBranching to master, meaning that it will be the base of PHP 7. And there was a vote for that. And it was also decided with a few minor votes against. And this is settled. And there is not much more to say. The future for PHP 7 is bright, as I also mentioned in another article. It was actually the title of the last PHP Hangout. So there is nothing much more to say about this. So we're going to move on the next topic, which talks about one of several proposals that were sent recently. One of them is to have a native built-in type, scalar type, which would be an integer, but it would be different than the regular integers that are signed. And this one would be unsigned. Anyway, this is a proposal. There are some debate. There is another, proposal, formalized for big integers. And I'm not sure what was the argumentation, if it was against or in favor of this, but it was somehow redundant. Well, anyway, in this proposal, one of the arguments is that when you store, for instance, integers in database, some fields can be unsigned, so it would map better to what you are storing in the database. Well, I don't know, Arthur, did you ever have concerns about these things that sign and sign integers? Is something that ever affected any of your code?
Honestly, I don't think I have. I really can't remember a situation like that. But, well, I completely understand the concern, because if you read a unsigned int or begin from database, which would be large enough, that turn out to be a negative number and can mess up everything in your code. So I understand the concern, but somehow I didn't run into the problem, and probably most of the developers also did not.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know if it would be applied or not until it's a popular problem.
Yeah. I think there are those rare cases that you exceed the number of the limit, the upper limit of unsigned integers, because well, I believe that in production most servers should be running at least. Well, I cannot say most because I don't have any numbers, but I suppose that many hosting companies are already running on 64-bit Linux installations. So they are already dealing with 64-bit. And other than that, for instance, MySQL, which is the most popular that database type being used by PHP applications, by default, the integer fields are 64-bit as well. So even if you're using a 32-bit platform, it stores 64-bit. But then the fields can be signed or unsigned. Anyway, 32-bit unsigned, I mean, signed number, I think is it 2 billion, the limit? Yeah, well, the hope is that if you use 64-bit, the limit will be much higher, and you will hardly hit that limit for your applications. For instance, if you have records that use the auto increment to define the ID of a record, until you reach those limits, you have to insert a lot of records in the database tables. So this probably is a concern for larger sites, larger applications that really deal with a large number of objects, records. I think.
The 64-bit integer goes from minus 2 in 63 power.
Yeah.
So basically 2 in 63,
it's really a lot.
Yeah, it's really a lot.
It's an even hard to spell number. And well, anyway, I'm not sure what they have decided about this, because the debate was still going on when I looked at this. I mean, they sort of stopped it once they mentioned their other proposal, a big integer. So that sort of meant that the other proposal will be more interesting for those that were discussing it. So the next topic is about, let me share the screen here, something also related with types. In this case, there is an updated proposal for having scalar type hinting using CAS, which is basically a renewed version of a proposal originally by Anthony Ferrara from 2012, and there is also Andre Foltz as the current maintainer. And basically, from what I got from this discussion, because this is a bit abstract, I hope I'm not getting this wrong, the when you pass, for instance, a string where an integer is expected, there will be a typecasting. I mean, there will be an implicit conversion to make sure that the function gets the expected type. So I don't know if there will be warnings that implicit conversions are happening, but just like we have today, if you try to, for instance, if you have two strings that have numbers inside them and try to add them, it will perform an arithmetic operation, not a concatenation. It will be adding those numbers. So I think this implicit conversion between, for instance, strings and numbers is what it is being proposed here, if not mistaken. Arthur, did you follow this proposal? Did you get the same that I got?
Yeah. Basically, yes, it's what they say. There are usually two ways to deal with that. One which would be the strict typing that you would not allow another type, another that would be implicit casting, as you mentioned. And, well, PHP already does casting as you mentioned, but sometimes when a function accepts a variable and you would need to implicitly be a number or a string, yeah, you'd have to create lots of checks to do that on to really see if it's a string or not. So that kind of way to provide which variable you are expecting would make it easier in some cases, but I don't know, that would be a closer to a strict languages maybe.
Yeah, then. It would be annoying if you have to explicitly convert the values. It would be annoying, and what they are proposing here is that now we will have five additional type hints that are supported in float, numeric, bool, and string. And if you pass a value that is different from what the type hint indicates, it can issue several. For instance, a recoverable error, meaning that it will issue that error, probably will appear in your error logs if you have enabled them, and you can see that there are some implicit errors. And this is not hard to happen. For instance, if you have a form, they submitted some values, and even if you ask for the user to enter an integer, what the value that is passed to the form post or get values will be still a string, even if you are asking for an integer. And if you need the value to be considered an integer, when you pass it to a function that uses type hinting, there will be a type cast, and it may or not trigger errors. Let's say if you are expecting an integer and the number is a letter, somebody put a letter in there by mistake or whatever, it probably should at least issue a warning, and rather than stopping the whole PHP program. Well, for those that want to have a more robust programming, they probably prefer it to trigger an exception.
Yeah.
The idea is to not make it much more different than what we have today, which is without type hinting. So, well, from what I noticed and the discussions, most people were favorable to this proposal, so that's probably what will be the future of type hinting. So those that would like to have PHP more similar to Java, finally they will get it with lots of type declarations everywhere.
Well, they will be optional, so that
To be honest, this seems to go along what Facebook provides now.
yeah, exactly.
This did not reappear again for no reason. The timing was perfect, let's say. So, again, thank you, Facebook, for your pressure. And finally, Facebook is helping PHP Core developers to agree after, well, the original proposal was like two years ago. So it's amazing that Facebook is sort of rushing the PHP Core developers. Now they are even getting along and agreeing with each other. So kudos to Facebook. Okay, so given that, I think this is settled. It will be a feature for I don't know if this is for the next. I don't know if there will be still a PHP 5.7. But I think at least in PHP 7, this will be a feature. Given that, let's move on to the next topic, which is about yet another PHP is Dead article. In this case, it was published in the Read Write web blog. And the title is a bit odd. It says, PHP, once the web's favorite programming language, is now on the wane. I'm not even sure what is on the wane means. Anyway, this was written by a reporter called Lauren Orsini that admitted that she just learned about PHP like a month ago or so, which is amazing because all of a sudden she feels capable of writing an article full of claims that PHP is on a long decline, and it even says that PHP jobs listing peaked in 2011 and since then plummeted. And it points to a chart in the Indeed site, which is a job aggregator site. And it shows the job trends for PHP. In fact, the percentage of matching posts those that mention PHP has been rising until January 11, and then it has been decaying. But this is the percentage. It does not mean that the absolute number has been decaying. We don't see it here. And then on the side, it shows, let me try to increase the font here, it shows the top job trends. And we see HTML5, MongoDB, iOS, Android, mobile app, Puppet, Hadoop, jQuery, platform as a service, social media. These are just the top keywords. I do not see any other language, because if PHP trend is going down, I suppose that some other language is going up. But we don't see any language here. What I can see is that there are some more evident trends for things like mobile development. You see here iOS, Android, mobile app, and somehow jQuery can somehow relate, and HTML5 can somehow relate with the mobile development. So this claim that PHP is on a long decline, I don't know if it is PHP that is on a long decline. It just seems to me that what is raising is the relevance as mobile development. And PHP also is used for mobile development, because many applications need to communicate with something on the server side. And that thing on the server side is often PHP. And then it goes on, talks about other alternatives like Python and Ruby, but we did not see Python and Ruby on those charts. And it says a lot of things and lots of quotes out of context. It even says PHP is there, long live PHP. So I get confused, because I don't no longer know if they are saying that PHP is decaying or if PHP is on the rise. And it is interesting, because at a certain point they even commented about an article that was mentioned on the PHP Classes site. Actually, was published on the PHP Classes site, that PHP is all that Facebook hack. is all that PHP should have been. But Facebook Hack is still PHP. It's a better PHP, but it's still PHP.
That's how we perceive it, but from somewhere from the site, it may seem like a completely other technology. That's why they say that Facebook moved to a custom language. Well, yeah, it's PHP still.
Well, that probably is what somebody that doesn't know anything about programming would say, which is probably the case. Since the reporter has learned about PHP 1 month ago, well, anyway, they say that PHP continues to be relevant because it it's still being used as the language for defining themes for WordPress. Well, the whole WordPress is on PHP. It's not just the themes. And this is yet another article that tries to be polemic. I don't see any other purpose of this article other than getting more audience to this site. And as usual, there's nothing to be concerned with for PHP developers because nothing new is brought up in this article. I just do not see where is the long decline of PHP. Other than that, there's not much more to say about this. I don't know if you want to add any other comments, Arthur.
You know, that's how PHP is perceived by probably many users who are not too deep into it, and maybe there is a reason why is that so.
Maybe there are some haters behind the person that wrote the article. PHP is dead. Write an article about that. Maybe if you repeat the lie many times, it will become the truth.
Like wishful thinking.
Yeah, was it Lenin that used to say, if you repeat a lie many times, it will become the truth?
Maybe.
It's like those companies that say, our product is the leading product for something. Well, it's not leading anywhere, but maybe if you repeat it many times, some people start believing it.
Exactly.
Okay, with this, we are going to move on to the next topic. Which is about the one of the regular section on which you comment the Innovation Award winners this time of May. We'll start from just mention a few from the JS classes. There were in May there were like 6 nominees. Fortunately, the JS classes site has been growing significantly in the latest times, and there are many great contributions. We don't have much time to comment all of them. We actually comment all of these in the JS classes, lately in JavaScript podcast. So if you want to know more what they comment, you can go ahead. But let's just comment about one of them each other. Arthur, which one would you like to comment?
Yeah, let me try to share screen. I don't know if Hangout will let me. Usually it does, but sometimes not.
Yeah, it depends if it is on the move. Actually, I tried to screen and it stopped the sharing, but okay.
Okay, so the one I want to mention is an A-star pathfinding class by Andreitz. And, what pathfinding does this finds the shortest path through some kind of way, labyrinth, and this class not also implements it, but also demonstrates it in a very interesting way. So basically here we have a labyrinth. Let me try if I can increase that. Yes, no, too much. Yeah. So there is a start, there is an end, and we can find the path, shortest path to it. We can refresh and play it more of the time. So yeah, that's an interesting that could be used to in games. That's basically what I love. So that's why probably it was.
I can see you enjoy that class so much that you also mentioned it in the JS classes in God. And it's pretty neat the fact that you can show the routes on the actual screen. As you mentioned, it could be used in games. Like for instance, if you have a computer open, it can figure the route by itself using a component like this that already knows how to figure routes. And on my behalf, I also would like to comment another package. Let me share the screen here. I'll pick the one of Mark Rolich from Armenia, which is the JavaScript Select 2D. It is meant to pick select options from a table. I mean, if you have a form, you can have select inputs, but in this case, it shows. I'm trying to see if I have any screenshots, it will be faster, but in this case, it doesn't. Anyway, it allows you to select options from a form. So instead of having those pull downs, which are often very annoying because you have to pull down and pick the right option, it shows the options in a table and lets you click on the right option that you want to pick. For multiple selects, it even allows you to select a range of cells and rows in the table, and it picks all the options. So this is great, especially for touch screens, because it allows you to drag the finger and make the selection. So this is very interesting. So kudos to Mark Rolish from Armenia that he already picked a prize. Let's start commenting about the prizes, because these are also important. Apart from the recognition that you get from being nominated to the Innovation Award, your work is distinguished, but you also are entitled to pick a prize from a sponsor. And in this case, he picked a prize from, which is an O'Reilly ebook of choice. You just picked one from all those that they have available. So it is always a nice prize from O'Reilly, because they always have great books. So thanks to Mark Rolish. So now we are going to comment just briefly about the standings of the Innovation Award rankings for 2014. So adding all the points that each of the authors have earned so far, as you may see here, we have the ranking. Let's try to increase the font to make it larger. And so far, and it's Jordan Marmolejo that submitted the package that you, Arthur, have mentioned, is leading with two packages and 10 points, followed by Jimmy Bo from Canada, three packages and 7 points. And then there are several other authors with just one package and less points. So given this, so far Spain is leading. This is still early, because we are only accounting until the winners of May. So it's still early in the year. Many packages have been submitted so far, so all these rankings may change. But so far, Spain is leading with the packages handwritten, followed by Italy with three packages and 8 points, by several authors, and then comes Canada with the three packages of Jimmy Gold that were mentioned before. Then there are several other countries with just one package and less points. So with this, now we're going to move on commenting to the Innovation Award winners of May, but in the PHP Classes side. There were like 6 nominees. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
I usually like simple classes that does the one simple task and that you can easily use it, and one of them was a class, a PHP image CURL by Mike Jordan, which basically allows you to, well, there are many functions like get image size function for local files, but you can't really use them for remote files, and so this class allows you to do that, to retrieve some information about the remote files. And this like a simple idea is implemented here, and works even in some specific settings when I think that were mentioned, if open wrappers are disabled, it also works. So this functional class that provides a single function probably is usually my preference. You can simply add it to the code and use it, and this kind of simple class can earn you, as we see, a Zen Studio license. So
yeah.
If you have any more ideas, yeah, that is great. Another thing I would want to comment is a forker by Daniel Martinez from Spain. Basically, what this class does, it can divide the some task into multiple processes, and they all have a shared memory which they can access for results. And this implementation can also work with many different type of memory sharing, like store types.
Yeah.
They can be shared in memories arrays or in files or in Memcache server. So that is usually a weak point of PHP to running task on multiple processors, and this class makes it easier to accomplish.
Right, so it sort of does a multi map reduce approach.
Yeah.
Done in well, in the same machine, but in reality it is in multiple process, so each process can process a part of the whole task. So it was an interesting class, sort of unusual. We don't have many classes like this, but it is great because it demonstrates the maturity of many of the developers that are submitting classes of PHP into the PHP classes site. So kudos to Daniel for his work. So on my part, oh, I forgot to mention that he picked the PHP Storm ID, which is also another interesting ID, like Zen Studio, as Mike Jordan has picked. And, I hope he's also happy with this prize. And now, moving on to the next nomination, I would like to mention first one package that is more for geographic applications. In this case, is PHP Mercator Projection. I'm not a specialist in geographic applications, but from what I understood, this is a projection to present points on the map. Oh, sorry. For some reason, I thought they were sharing it. And okay. This one is from Kiwon from Germany, and basically it can render points on the map with the given coordinates, I mean latitude and longitude, and render them using the Mercator projection, which is basically to render points giving that perspective as if it, well, to make it all appear in one image, two dimensions. And then it can save the resulting image to the PNG format. So it was a great package. Once again, from Ki Huang, he has been a great contributor. It's probably the top contributor in terms of number of innovative packages. I know he has been working very hard to make sure that all his packages are innovative. Sometimes he shared to me asking if a certain package that he's trying to submit is innovative, and talking about that, if anybody wants to participate in the innovation award and is not sure if a package is innovative or not because they are not sure if they can find a similar package, you can always contact the site. I'll answer and let you know if it will be considered innovative, because I need to also search the existing packages to determine if they are innovative or not. So you can you can qualify to participate in the innovation award with whatever package you have in mind. So moving on, the next package that I'd also like to mention is one called PHP Query Terminal to run command classes from an interactive console. So basically, this package is in reality divided into one part in PHP and another in JavaScript, and the JavaScript part sends AJAX requests and renders a console terminal. And on the server side, the PHP part renders, I mean, executes the requested commands as calls to classes. So this is very interesting. For instance, if you want to test classes from a web interface, I mean, test to check what they do, what are the results. So this is a great contribution. By Handwidth, once again, he has been sending a good bunch of innovative classes. And for this one, he picked a book from PEC, which is a well-known publisher that has many great books, not just for PHP, but for many other topics. So with this, we have like six nominees, just mentioned four. Just mentioned briefly, there was another package from Ali Sharifi from Iran that submitted a package to create and edit XML site maps that can be read, not only created, but also alter. It can alter existing site maps. And the last one I don't mention was a package from Valorena from Estonia. He developed a certain unusual package that can merge XML documents from different sources, from strings, from files, or even DOM objects that are created. And with this, just going to take a look how the Innovation Award rankings for 2014 are going. So far, the lead is by Henry Jordan Marmalager that we just mentioned his packages. So far, he has three packages and 16 points, followed by Ki Wong, as we also mentioned. He has been a great contributor with packages almost every month, being nominated the Innovation Award. So far, he has four packages with 14 points. And then Orazi Prince from Italy with two packages and 11 points. Then there are several others, like Roger Bakun from Norway with three packages and 9 points. And then several others with just one package. And this leads to a ranking that so far Italy is leading. I think Italy just passed Spain, because the other month I think Spain was leading from remembering correctly.
GS classes, Spain is winning. Spain is leading, and Italy is in second place. So maybe.
Yeah. So there is, and this is awesome because, as I mentioned, the competition is growing, and now we are not sure who is going to win because, as I mentioned several times before, the country that wins the Innovation Award with more points will be all the authors nominated in this year will be entitled to earn a big elephant. So each of the authors will get their own elephant, not one elephant for the whole country. I'll have the pleasure to send an elephant to each one of them. It's a symbolic prize, and probably there'll be also a surprise prize that I'm not going to mention yet, because I'm still working on the idea. But anyway, this is all symbolic. I mean, it just it's a way to recognize the effort done, just not only by individual authors from certain countries, but also authors that are sort of working together, probably collaborating, giving ideas to each other. So each of them can send more innovative packages, and we are already seeing great results. As I mentioned, Italy is leading with four packages and 21 points, followed by Spain right behind with same number of packages but 19 points, and then Brazil with three packages and 17 points. Then we see Germany, four packages and 14 points, and Russia with two packages and 13 points, Norway, three packages and 9 points. And then there are several others with just one package, less points. But, well, it seems the competition is increasing, and this is great because everybody wins with this. The site gets more innovative packages, and the users benefit from the innovations that are shared with them by the means of these packages, and the authors also get recognition, and also the sponsors also get more exposure, as you may see here on the left, the direction or as so far all these sponsors, and they also get great exposure to their brands and attention to their products. So it is great. Arthur, have you been following these developments? What do we have any comments to add?
Yeah, well, as I said the way to previous, but I will repeat that it's interesting that both Italy and Spain are in the first two places in PHP and I think in JS classes. So
yeah,
they are really taking it really seriously and really competing. So it's interesting to see we'll from it.
And there's still plenty of time for other countries to submit their own packages and still participate in this competition, which it is intended to be a healthy competition. It's not exactly a sport, it's a serious thing. When people are developing these packages, they are often using them in their professional work, which is probably more important than actually this competition, but if they, apart from the value of their work, they can also get recognition for sharing these innovative components. It is great for everybody. So personally, I'm very happy with this increase in participation in Innovation Award, and I have noticed in the latest weeks, months, that the participation is increasing further, and not just in quantity, but also in the type of innovative packages that have been submitted. That sometimes is very, very surprising, nothing that you could expect. So the overall initiative is getting the whole community great results. So with this, you practically ended this podcast. And let's wait and see next month if we continue to have this level of great contributions and also more interesting PHP topics to comment about. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.